If you would, please open your Bibles to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 91. When you find your place, if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalms 91. And we'll read the first five verses. Let's do the first six verses. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feathers, with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for Your precious and holy Word. We thank You, Father, that Your Word is eternal, that nothing can ever stamp out the Word of God. It has always been and always will be settled in heaven. Thank You, Father, that we're able to turn to it in time of need. And Father, we shouldn't turn to it only when we're in time of need, but Father, we should stay within the Word of God and help us, Lord, as Your children, to be able to do so, to open it now and look into it, and that we may see Your Word of God for what it is, Father, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. Help us to learn truths from it today. Open our understanding to it. And Father, if there be one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, may they come to the saving knowledge of Christ through Your precious Word. We ask it all in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week we talked about the Bible itself as nutrition. We talked about it as being food for the soul, something that we need to have, that we need to feast on every single day of our life. We can't leave it out of our lives. It's what we grow by. The Bible tells us clearly that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and our faith is increased through the Word of God. And without the Word of God, we have no faith in God. So we need to stand firm on it. We need to feast on the Word of God as much as we possibly can. And as the pastor of a church, you can't give the people enough Word in an hour or two or three a week. They got to feast on it themselves all week long. After a while, people have to learn to put in their chompers and chew on the Word of God once in a while and get some meat out of the Word of God. So last week we talked about the Bible being nutrition. Today I want to talk about the Bible being our shield. And I found that in verse 4 there of Psalms 91, where it says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth, that's speaking of the Word of God, shall be thy shield and buckler. That word buckler there is the word, that word rendered there is derived from the verb to surround. In other words, God can surround you by His Word if you trust in it. And we've got to learn to trust in that Word of God. And we need to use it as a shield. The United States of America is headed in the wrong direction. That's the only way I know how to put it. Our 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. I want to read an article that I pulled off I actually just read this morning, but I wanted to share it with y'all. It says, the American Civil War was called the greatest man-made disaster in American history. Between 1861 and 1865, 623,000 American soldiers were killed, more than all the Americans in both world wars. Isn't that something? As bloody as the Civil War was, in the end, they came back together. This would almost certainly never have happened if not for the leadership of one man, President Abraham Lincoln. He was a godly man, probably one of the most, if not the best president this nation has ever had. It says that President Abraham Lincoln, today Americans are bitterly divided again, and many knowledgeable people are seriously discussing the possibility of another civil war in America. Think about that. We are on the brink of a civil war in our nation. And that is such a scary thing. You just don't know from day to day. Our nation is a mess. It's a terrible disaster. And sometimes we as Christians don't even see it. But we need to open our eyes and we need to look back on the leaders of the past and see what they had to say. But according to this, it says Lincoln has much to teach us today. In fact, in his book called November, Lincoln's elegy at Gettysburg, another author, Grant Graham, wrote this. He said, "If we Americans can't find Lincoln, we are lost." I believe that is true, and I will explain why. He says, Lincoln's education. Abraham Lincoln had less than 1 year of formal education, yet I believe he was the most educated man we ever had in our presidency. He was truly a rare human being. During his lifetime, many people thought he was the only man who could win the Civil War and save the Union. That war was a time of terrifying violence like no other in the United States history. Yet this rare, deep-thinking man rose to the challenge and played a pivotal role. But where did his thoughts come from? How did he move people to lead people? Abraham Lincoln read the Bible cover to cover. He lived according to the Word of God. He read the Bible cover to cover, and what made him all the more rare was that he believed the Bible. Not only did he read it, but he believed the Bible. We have people in our political realm today who don't even know what the Bible is. They don't understand that the Word of God is a shield for God's people. It protected our nation in the beginning, and it'll protect it again if God's people will just stand up and use the Word of God as they should. It goes on to say, that is something you can prove for yourself as well. He read the Bible from cover to cover, and he believed the Bible. Think about it. Most of Abraham Lincoln's basic education was from the Bible. Believe it or not, the Bible was the only book that they had at one time as their school book. They had it all in there. They used the Bible for everything, from arithmetic all the way up through English, speaking the language. And a lot of people want to throw out the King James Version of the Bible in this world today, because they say it's old English. We don't talk that way anymore. Folks, I have no problem whatsoever understanding when the Bible says, "Thou shalt not," that means don't do it. Amen. And if the Bible says, "Thou shalt," that means do it. Pretty simple. It's not hard to understand the Word of God. And when people say they can't understand it, that's their own fault. They don't have the Spirit of God living within them. You know, minds that don't have God living within their heart, they cannot understand the things of God. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. But Lincoln was a man who stood up for what was right. And I'm not preaching about Lincoln today. I'm going to preach to you about Jesus Christ and His Word. But I want us to understand something here, that Lincoln read the Bible closely. Biographer Carl Sandburg wrote, "Knew it from cover to cover, was familiar with its stories and its poetry. He quoted from it in his talks to juries, in political campaigns, in his speeches, and in his letters. He always wrote about the Word of God. He talked about the Word of God. When he had a meeting with his cabinet men, he talked about the Word of God. And we wonder why our nation is in the shape that it's in today. It's in the shape that it's in today because there are no godly people left in standing in Congress or in Senate or in presidency. Our president's a joke, plain and simple. I'll say that, and I'll be done with that. Lincoln said, this is a quote from Lincoln. He said, "When any church will inscribe over its altar as its sole qualification for membership the Savior's condensed statement of the substance of both law and gospel, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all and thy neighbor as thyself,' the church will I join with all my heart and with all my soul." This is quite a condemnation for the church. Think about it. If a church will just preach the Word of God, love the Word of God, fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. The Bible was what our nation was founded upon in the first place. It says, during his lifetime, many people thought he was the only man who could win the Civil War. I just read that. The war was a time of terrifying violence in the United States history. A deep thinking man was what he was, who rose to the challenge, and he was a pivot in the whole Civil War. But you know what? We live in a world where they've taken the Word of God completely out of everything. And I want us today to look at the Word of God as a shield in your personal life and in our for our nation as well, because we are at battle, and we've been at battle since Christ ascended into heaven, never stopped. That's when it began, and that's when it started, and it's not going to stop until He steps out on that cloud and calls His children home. But in 1 Peter 5:8, we are warned that Satan is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. It says, be sober, be vigilant. That word sober means to be restrained or moderate. The word vigilant means watchful. Be on the lookout. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's always out to destroy God's people. And that's what he's trying to do right now in the nation of Israel, folks. He's trying to stop Israel. Israel is God's chosen people. I watched a thing the other day. They had this thing where this young lady, they were interviewing this young lady. She was protesting for Palestine, trying to protect the Palestinians, talking down about Israel. And the guy that was interviewing her said, why are you here? She had no idea, other than somebody told her there was going to be a protest to support Palestine. No idea that we are a nation that needs to stand up with the Word of God as our shield and protect the nation of Israel. And I'm telling you, when our nation turns our back on the nation of Israel, folks, we've tore down the shield of God. Because God said clearly to Abraham, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And the last thing that I want to see is God's curse on this nation. But you know what? It's already there a little bit. It's already there. We just don't see it. Because our nation has turned it, God has turned us over to reprobate minds. It's in there. Read Romans chapter 1. It tells you all about it, folks. You want to know what's going on out there? Read Romans chapter 1, because that's where we're at. But the forces of our enemy seeks to destroy us and hinder our effectiveness in this world. They do not want to see the Christian go out and bring in souls for Christ. They don't want us out there on the streets passing out tracts. They don't want us out there preaching the Word of God on a street corner. If you do that right now, I'm telling you, you're going to go to jail. They're going to pick you off the street. They're going to put chains on you, and they're going to throw you in the jail cell. And that's what they're going to do. It happens. It's happening right here in America. We just don't see it because they don't publicize that. They don't put that on the media. The only thing they put on the media is the things that make us look bad. We're a bunch of haters, when in reality, we have a greater love for this world than any mankind that does not have Jesus Christ in their heart will ever know. And they need to understand that. And it's up to us to take them there and take them to the Lord, the Word of God. This very world in which we live is hostile towards those who have faith in Jesus Christ. They hate us. They hate us with a passion. And you know what? I'll say it just plain and simple. If you're not for us, you're against us. Plain and simple. If you're not for God, you're against God. If you don't read the Word of God, you don't use God's Word as a shield, then folks, you're fighting a losing battle. It may look like we're losing right now, but I'm telling you what, at the end, we are going to win. We will be triumphant. We will stand up with the Word of God. It will never, ever be, it'll never go down. They can't take out the Word of God. No matter how hard they try to stomp out God's Word, they cannot stomp out the Word of God. Because folks, and that's why we got to take it and hide it in our hearts. The psalmist said it clearly in Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. You don't want to sin in your life? Read the Word of God. Use it as a shield. Protect yourself from this evil world by reading the Word of God, keeping it in your heart. But God did not leave us here helpless and unnamed for the battle that's before us, folks. He gave us His Word as a shield, and we need to use it as a shield. Carry the Word of God with you, even if it's in a gospel tract. Take the gospel track with you. I was at the hospital yesterday visiting with Sister Debbie and Brother Joe, and I had a pocket full of tracks, and I laid them around again, what I had, and I ran out again. I'm going to have to keep me a whole trunk load of tracks. I'm running out of tracks, but we also have some John and Romans that Brother Dale was telling me about, and we're going to work on those and get them ready to go out, and I got two cases of them, I think, two full cases of John and Romans. The folks, we're going to pass them out, plain and simple. We're going to get them out there. We're going to take them to hospitals. We'll take them to wherever we have. I'll go in the motel, knock on doors. Can we put these in the room? I mean, they put the Gideon's Bible in there. So I'm going to put some out there as soon as we get them ready to go. And I want you all to take them out with you and pass them out. It's a gift from Abundant Life Baptist Church, but even more important than that, it's a gift from God. His word is a gift that comes directly from God. This is God. This is how God speaks to us, is through his word. And if we don't hold on to that shield as our divine protection, folks, we're going to fall flat on our face. We're already almost there now. We're down here right now. And the only thing that's protecting us from hitting our face on the concrete right now is God's holy word. And when we get out of church, folks, and we get out of the word of God, we're going to fall. This nation will once again fall. You know, nowhere any time you go through prophecy, you don't find the United States of America there. It's not there. It's not in prophecy. I can't find it anywhere, but I don't know if you've ever found it there or not. I can't find it there. Why? Because this nation is about to fall. What we're going to do, more than likely, if we don't get the right person in 2024 in the president's seat, folks, we're going to become a part of the European Union, the EU. And when that happens, you better hold on to your Bible. You better hold on to your guns. You better hold on to your life, because they're about to destroy the Christian. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. And we cannot let him have a stronghold in the United States of America. And if these preachers across this land cannot get behind their pulpits and preach the Word of God the way they're supposed to be, then shame on them. Shame on them for not being able to stand up and hold up the Word of God and say, this is God's Word. This is the shield. This is what our nation was founded upon, and I will preach it until the day that I die by God's grace, and I will not turn my back on it, and I will not let the world take it from my hands. What makes the Bible different from all the books in the world? God is the author. God is the author of the Bible. Folks, it wasn't written by no man. It was written by God Almighty. Men penned it down, but they were just the pen that God used. And God used them. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the word, by the Holy Spirit, and they penned down God's holy word. You know what? This is better than what they had in the Old Testament. We got God's word, the Old Testament. What I'm talking about, those who lived in the Old Testament, they didn't have the word of God the way that we do. We got God's spoken word right here written down. And we need to take that word of God and use it as a shield to protect us, as a buckler round about us. We should allow ourselves to be surrounded by God's holy word. And when we don't, folks, we're going to fall flat on our face. And one of the things we talked about in Sunday school this morning was what James was teaching there about the trials and the tribulations we go through. You know, and it says clearly back there in the book of James that we're going to go through trials and tribulations. But I'm telling you, as the day comes near to the end of this world, the trials and the tribulations are nothing that we've ever seen like what's going to happen. And I think it's going to be soon. I don't think we're too far from the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise his holy name, I won't be here through that tribulation period, because he's going to rapture the church out of here. We're going to be in his presence when God the Father says, that's enough down there on that world. It's ugly. It's falling apart. And as it was in the days of Noah when he sent the floodwaters to destroy mankind, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus, when God looks at Jesus, he's going to say, step out on that cloud, son, and call your children home. And when he does that, and we're going to hear that trump sound, folks, where do you want to be when that trump sounds? Where will you be when that trump sounds? Are you going to be ready when that trumpet is sounded? Are you going to hear it? Are you going to see Jesus step out on that eastern sky and pull you up? And it just gives me goosebumps when I think about it. I can't handle this. I mean, this God did not leave us here helpless, folks. We got a promise to hold on to. We got a promise to hold on to. And I'll tell you right now, there's no better place that I'd rather be than sitting right here in church with God's people when that trump is blown. And God says, come on up. And God says, that's enough. I've had enough of that wicked world, them wicked sinners down there, and I'm going to destroy that world. And you know what? It's going to burn with fire. It's going to burn with fire. And the world has tried to take things out of the Word of God. They've tried to dilute God's Word, and they try to tear it down. They don't want us using it as a shield, and they try to use it against us. That's why we've got to know it better than the world does. And the only way to do that, folks, is to study the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to be in church when you have an opportunity to be in church. And he used men to write this, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture, not part of it, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It's profitable. What's it profitable for? For doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, and that includes women. When it says man of God, that means mankind. Man of God may be perfect. That word perfect doesn't mean you're not going to sin. It simply means mature. You want to be mature in your Christian walk with God Almighty? You want to have a mature Christian life? Then I'm telling you, read the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. Don't just read it. Obey it. Obey it. Live according to the Word of God, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished with unto all good works. The only way you're going to find out what's good and what's right to do, folks, is to read the Word of God, apply it to your life, live according to the Word of God. You live outside the Word of God, you're living in sin, plain and simple. The Bible has stood for the entire test of time, and the Word of God teaches us what is right, what is wrong. It says, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, what is it? It is sin. It is sin. When you know the right thing to do based on the Word of God and you don't do it, folks, you're sinning against God Almighty. Don't sin against God. Get the sin out of your life. Fall in love with the Word of God. If you don't know Jesus today, don't leave here without him. Because I'm telling you, there's a place called hell. The Bible says it. But it was not made for mankind. It was made for the devil and his angels. But you know what? Man's going to go there because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into their hearts. But the Bible has stood the test of time. No other book has survived the centuries as the Bible has done. They've tried to destroy it. They tried to burn it out. Hitler tried to destroy it. He gathered as many Bibles as he could along with the guns of the people, and he began to burn them and try to destroy them. And what happened? What happened? Where's Hitler at? He's in the middle of hell right now being burned. I don't know how hot his flame is, but I can tell you right now his flame is extremely hot down there in the middle of hell. It survived empires, kingdoms, wars, civilizations, dark ages, the Renaissance period, the modernism, skepticism, and all the attacks on it, on its authority and accuracy. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away. The heaven and earth will pass away, he says, but my words shall not pass away, folks. God's words will never, ever pass away. It's a shield. It can protect us. It can gather us up and keep it in its wings. And it can love us and it can nurture us and cause us to grow and protect us from an ugly world that we live in. In Mark 13:31, Jesus said, heaven and earth, he said it again there, heaven and earth shall pass away. It's written down in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Isaiah said the same in Isaiah 40:8. He says, the grass withereth. In other words, the grass is going to die. The flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. It is never going to go away. It's alive. It's living. They cannot stomp it out. It has a soul. It's God Almighty. It's God. The Bible is God's. It's his word. And nothing can ever stomp it out. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard this world tries, they cannot destroy the word of God. It's our shield. It is beneficial to us. The Bible is our divine shield because God himself is our shield. And Psalm 33:20 says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. God is our shield. His word protects us. It keeps us from this ugly world in which we live. Psalm 59:11 says, slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power. Bring them down, O Lord, our shield. God is our shield. The word of God is our shield. And Psalm 84:9 says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. This existence here is unique because it gives us a relationship with God Almighty. You want a relationship with God? You want to know God in a real and a special way? I will never claim that I know the heart of God. I don't understand God's heart. I can't do that because his ways are so much higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But I can know God in a very real and a very special way. And I can have a relationship with him. See, that's what Christianity is. It's a relationship. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is what it is. The word, his word takes on the attributes which are ascribed to God. God is holy, so is his word. God is indestructible. His word has proven the test of time, and it is indestructible. God is trustworthy. His word is certainly trustworthy. It does not lie. You cannot find a lie in the Bible anywhere. This world wants to say that, well, the Bible contradicts itself. It does not contradict itself. You have to know how to rightly divide the word of God. If you cannot rightly divide the word of God, then lay it down and talk to somebody who can. Because if you can't and if you're trying to do it in your own mind without the Spirit of God living within you, you cannot understand the things of God. The Bible's clear on that. The natural man cannot understand the things of the things of God. It's impossible for somebody who is unsaved to pick up the Word of God. And Philip, to prove that in the book of Acts, where Philip went and he saw the Ethiopian guy, and God sent him to him because he was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And Philip said, "What are you reading there?" He said, I don't know. I'm reading out of the book of Isaiah." And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "No, I don't understand it. And how can I except someone explain it to me?" Philip understood it. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God living within him. You want to know the Word of God? You want to know what God's will is? You want to know what's going to happen in this world and what's to come in the future? Read it in the Word of God. Jesus said it clearly. As it was in the days of the Son, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Look around, folks. As it was in the days of Noah, we are living in those days now. Think about it. Think about what's happening. Men with men, women with women, etc. Something that God hates. It's an abomination to God Almighty, and we're living in that day and age now. Men who don't even know whether they're a man or not. That's not hard to figure out, folks. It's not a hard thing to do. This gender stuff, confusion. I don't understand why a little child has to be told by their parent that, I really wanted a little girl, but you're a boy. You should have been a girl. And next thing you know, that little child is going through a sex change. We live in a disgusting world. A disgusting world. And you think for one minute, if it disgusts us as Christians, imagine what it does to our God and our Father in heaven who wrote the Word of God, who gave us God's Word. You can go back in the book of Leviticus and talk about it. You can read it in the book of Romans, etc. It's in the book of Corinthians where God tells us what it's all about. Folks, we're a mess. We better be waking up. We better be listening to the Word of God. We better learn to use the Word of God as a shield, because our shield is beneficial. It gives us identification. It gives us complete protection. Psalms 91:4 says that very clearly. He shall cover thee with his feathers. That means he's going to protect us. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth. What is truth? Truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." That means the Word of God. Jesus, and because it says clearly in the book of John chapter 1 that Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. What's that mean? That means Jesus was the Creator. Jesus was the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, and that Word of God still lives through His precious Word. They can never, ever stamp it out. It is our shield. It gives us identification. It gives us protection. You got to think about it seriously. One of the barnyards animals and other forms of the battlefield. It says clearly there in Psalm 94:1. It says this is a picture of the mother hen who gathers her chicks. That's a barnyard animal. Gathers its chicks and protects them under her wings. When they see that chicken hawk up above, looking down, about to come down and take her chicks, what's that hen do? She gathers them around. Well, I'm telling you right now, when the day comes and Jesus and God says to Jesus, "Go get your children," it's going to be like that big hen gathering us in her arms and rapturing us out of this ugly world that we live in. And it's going to be so much better. It's going to be that new Jerusalem, folks. But in Matthew 23:37, Jesus himself said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." You see, people have hated the prophets from the beginning of time when they first started out. People don't like pastors. People don't like preachers, unless they're saved people. I'm not saying you all don't, but I'm just saying if you go out into this world, if I would go out into this world right now and go down on Huntington at the courthouse and stand up on them steps down there and start proclaiming the Word of God and preaching Jesus, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be inside that courthouse behind those bars waiting an arraignment or for something. But I'm tempted to do it just to see what happens. You never know. Y'all might have to bail me out of jail one day. But Jesus says, he's talking to Jerusalem, "Thou that killest the prophets." See, they hated them. Because you know why? The truth hurts. That's why they hated Jesus, because truth hurts. And what is truth? Truth is the Word of God. Nobody likes to be told that they're living a life of sin. All they got to do to know for sure is pick up the Word of God and read it. It'll tell you whether your life is what it should be. But Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that which are sent unto thee." In other words, God sent the prophets for a reason, to take the Word of God to the people, to make their life just a little bit easier. Not that it takes away their trials and tribulations, but it gives you strength to get from day to day. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? The world don't want to hear the truth, folks. They don't want to know what's going on biblically. They don't want to know about God's Word. They don't want to use God's Word as a shield. But I'm telling you, we can. We need to use it as a shield because it gives us complete protection. Our shield must be used. We have to use the Word of God. There are three commands given to soldiers in reference to their shield. And it's always been that way. Each of these commands have they're significant to us and how we are to treat our shield, the Word of God. First of all, back in Jeremiah 51:11, it says, make bright the arrows, gather the shields. When they're getting ready for a battle, gather the shields. We're told to gather the shield. What are we gathering? The Word of God. It's a shield. We need to gather it up, folks. And part of gathering that is hiding it in our hearts. It says, the Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it has the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Because this nation was about to destroy God's people, God says, gather the shields. Get your armor ready, folks. Get ready to fight. The second thing is to uncover the shield in Isaiah 22:6. And Elam bare the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kerr uncovered the shields. They took the shields out. Folks, wipe the dust off your Bible. Wipe the dust off your Bible. And I'm telling you, what I don't understand, and I'm trying to wrap my head around this sometimes, I see God's people coming to church without a Bible in their hand. Folks, that's like going to battle without a shield. It's kind of like going to a gunfight with a piece of paper. Folks, carry your Bible. Let your neighbor see you carry the Bible in your hand. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. Right there. God's Word. Uncover the shield. Carry it with you. How often do you uncover your shield? Some are covered for weeks and months at a time. I could probably go into some of our houses and find dust on your Bible. You know that old song, dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word? I mean, it happens, folks. People let their Bibles get dusty. Don't let your Bible get dusty. That's your shield. That's what protects you. And unfortunately, some of them are covered with dust. Our shields, anoint the shield. It also says to anoint the shield. Isaiah 21:5 says clearly, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. You know, they used to put oil on their shields. You know why they did that? They put the oil on the shield because when they went to battle and they held that shield up and the sun hit it, boy, it blinded the eyes of the enemy. Folks, anoint your shield. Pray over the Word of God. Pray over the Word of God. Keep it in your life. Make it part of your life. Live according to it. So imagine the impact of an army approaching with their shields that are bright and shiny and clean. Keep your Bible shiny. Keep it clean. Hide it in your heart and use it against the devil. Because the Bible's clear. It says that devil is as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he can devour. Folks, he's wanting to destroy you. He's wanting to destroy our church. He's wanting to destroy our nation. He's wanting to destroy our world. And he wants to take as many people as he possibly can to a place called hell. Because he knows that's where he's going. Don't go to hell. If you do, it's your choice. Why would anybody choose to go to a place called hell? And the world does not even begin. They don't even believe there is a place like hell. But they want to believe there's a place called heaven. But they don't realize that that place called heaven, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You don't get to heaven, folks, without Jesus Christ in your life. And it's not hard. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That ain't hard. That's simple. That's why they call it the simple plan of salvation. But you know, when a person truly gets saved, it'll show. It'll show. They'll shine up that sword. They'll shine up the Word of God, and they'll keep it with them. And they'll take it to others. And they'll share it with those that they love, because they don't want to see them go to a place called hell. Folks, if that don't burn and resonate in our hearts that people are dying every day and they're going to hell, then we need to back up and check our own salvation. God has blessed us with his holy word. It's our shield of protection throughout this lifetime and throughout eternity. It's still going to be there in heaven, folks. I think we'll have Bibles in heaven. Even though God will be in the presence of God, it says His word is ever settled in heaven. It is never going to go away. But you know what? Then I'll know it in the beginning to the last, amen, because I'll be perfect in heaven. And when I don't, if God looks at me and says, Roy, what's it say in this book, this verse? I'm going to quote it. I'm going to quote it, folks. Christians, we need to make sure we're prepared for battle because it's coming. The battle's coming. I believe that with my whole heart. It's on its way. And we got to be prepared for that. We got to be able to pick up the Word of God and use it the way that it's supposed to be used. And so many times we don't. It's not hard to share the gospel with somebody. Take time and use the Word of God as a shield. Last week it was our nutrition. We grow by the Word of God. This week it's our shield. If your Bible's covered in dust, pick it up. Wipe it off. If it's falling apart, that's okay. It just proves it's being used. I heard somebody use the excuse here one day and said, well, I can't carry my Bible because it's just falling apart. Well, you know what? That's a good testimony. Go buy another one. Carry the Bible with you. Just because they're in the back of the pews, folks, don't mean you don't need to have your own at home. When I see somebody walk into the church without a Bible in their hand, that tells me they're not reading it at home. And when they pick it up out of the back of the pew, where's your own Bible? That's for visitors. That's for unsaved people. When they come in and they don't bring a Bible with them, bring your Bible to church. Pick it up. Carry it as a shield. And then when you have time, pick it up and chew on it. Digest the Word of God. Keep it inside of you. I don't mean literally eat the Bible. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Spiritually, chew on the Word of God, folks. Use it the way it's meant to be. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. And the only way you're going to do that is by believing it from cover to cover, standing on it from cover to cover. Don't let the world drag you down. Stand up. Shine up that shield and use it for God. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Father, for your presence with us today. And we thank you, Lord, for the promises that we can stand so firm on your holy word as a shield of God. How it protects us. It surrounds us, Lord. And may we hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against you. But Father, if we don't use the Word of God, sin will come rampant. Forgive us, Lord, for not loving your Word as we should. Continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, during this invitation time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.